Okay, this is the Fiction Old and New book group, and today is Friday, September 1st, 2023. My name is Michelle Bernstein, and we are discussing a book by Angie Cruz called How Not to Drown in a Glass of Water. And I will give you a little bit of information about the author, and then I will go over the characters, and then, as we usually do, we'll go around one by one and see what people thought about the book. So Angie Cruz was born in 1972 in the Washington Heights section of New York City. She's of Dominican descent, and as a child, she spent a good deal of time in the Dominican Republic. She has a BA in English from the State University of New York at Binghamton, and a master's in creative writing from New York University. She teaches in the creative writing program at the University of Pittsburgh. Her first book, Soledad, was published in 2001, and her second novel, Rain Coffee, came out in 2005. Her breakout novel was Dominicana, which was published in 2019 to much acclaim. Tonight's book, How Not to Drown in a Glass of Water, was published in 2022. Publishers Weekly called the novel a tender and quintessentially American portrait. Okay, so now I'm going to go through the characters. Our main character was Cara Romano, who was a woman about in her mid-50s who had lost her job. And she does most of the talking in the story. Her son is Fernando, he was estranged from her. Ricardo was Cara's husband, who was not in the book, but we heard about him. Angela is Cara's sister, and Hernan was Angela's husband. And then Lulu was Cara's neighbor and friend, and Lulu's son is Adonis. And then Adonis's wife is Patricia. Jose was Cara's married boyfriend that she had for a while. And Rafa is Cara's brother. And there was also, so I was, the whole time I was trying to figure out what was the name of the social worker, the caseworker. And at the end of the story, her name is Lizette. And then Alexis was Fernando's friend. So I wrote down three questions about the book that occurred to me as I was listening to it. You don't have to answer any of them. These are just questions if you're interested in answering. The first one is, what did you think of the way the story was structured? You know, the way that the story was told. It was told in a sort of unique style. Did you like Cara Romano? Did you find her believable as a character? And then the last question is, what did you think that the title of the book meant? So I will call on people one by one. One thing I will say just before we do that is, so if you're not familiar with Washington Heights, Washington Heights is in Upper Manhattan. It's like West 180th Street. It's past, if you go past Columbia University and the Columbia Presbyterian Hospitals, it's pretty far up in Manhattan. For a long time, it was a very Spanish neighborhood. And recently, it's a lot of white people have been moving into that area because the rents are lower. And there's been certain tensions because of the gentrification in that area. And if you're a fan of Lin-Manuel Miranda, before he wrote Hamilton, he wrote a musical called In the Heights, which is all about Washington Heights. So if you're interested in hearing more about that, that would be a place to do. Okay, so I actually thought, Liz, I would start with you if it's okay, because I know you were a social worker, and I thought you might have an interesting perspective on the way that the story was told here.
Oh, okay. Hi, everyone.
Hi, Liz.
First of all, in the beginning, I was having a little bit different difficulty with some of the accent, some of the words that Carol was saying. I didn't couldn't quite understand. But in terms of the style, I thought it was really interesting, and I actually think we learned a lot more about Kara than just by her telling the story. So I really liked that format and that it was done in sessions. We never met the therapist really, we didn't hear her input. So I really w I feel like we really got to know Kara just by her telling us. I thought she was a hoot. She was such a character. I really did like her a lot. And I do think she's really believable. She's just really alive and kind of says things the way the way they are. And I loved the way she filled out forms. It was hysterical. But yeah, I enjoyed the book, and I really wasn't sure that I would, but I did. It was unique, and yeah, I really did like it. Some of the characters that she talked about, I mean, I wasn't real thrilled with Angela, but I didn't care for Angela. But I really did like Kara.
Well, thank you so much for getting us started. Yeah, I was thinking to myself, I know several people in accessible world worked as social workers, and I just kind of wondered if they would have a different perspective than, than someone who didn't. But thank you for getting us started. Okay, well, Sherry, I know you weren't a social worker, but you did work in crisis management a little bit, right? In crisis intervention. So what did you think of this story?
Well, as far as that aspect goes, if I was the therapist, I'd be pulling my hair out trying to focus her on what she needed to focus on because she tended to ramble quite a bit. It was funny because right before I started this book, I was talking to Alan and saying that usually the narrators, I don't notice the narrators that much one way or the other, but I only lasted 20 minutes with this narrator. And it wasn't the accent, it was the affect, the extreme enthusiasm and blah, 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 blah. And I quit and went and downloaded it from Bookshare and read it that way and was happy with it. I liked Kara. I thought it was an interesting format. I never did figure out why Fernando left, but I think he was gay. I got the impression he was gay, and I don't know if I missed it because I skipped a couple of the forms. Sounds like from what Liz said, I probably should not have, but they sounded pretty dry, so I went ahead and skipped to the next session instead of going through them. And I thought the book was okay. She had a lot of interpersonal relationships. She seemed like a really nice person. And she just seemed like she would be a really good friend that would help you out if you needed a friend and stuff. But she also seemed like the kind of friend who would talk your ear off too.
Yeah.
So that was kind of
Other
amusing.
people.
So, Nancy, I think you have to mute yourself if you're going to be
Oh,
talking.
sorry.
Okay, thank you.
And as far as the title goes, I think that might come from the fact that she keeps asking for glasses of water all the time, and
Yeah.
I don't know, but it was an interesting title. So
Was
that's
an.
all I have. Yeah.
Yeah,
Okay.
there were a couple places in the book where they talked about the title, and I'm interested to hear as we go along what people thought. Yes, Alan, would you
Okay.
like to go?
Well, I was going to answer one thing that Sherry said asked, and she threw an iron at Fernando, I think, and hit him with
Yeah.
it. So,
Okay.
yeah,
Yeah.
that was the part that you missed.
Well, that would do it. Yeah.
Yeah,
It was kind of nice at the end where he left food for her. It sounded like the first step in a reconciliation.
that was nice. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Did you think that? I mean, I didn't think she did it on that she intended on hitting him, but she threw it at him. So it was interesting.
She was throwing it at the door.
Yeah, I don't think she was trying to hit it with it either, but
Yeah.
yeah.
Well, Alan, why don't you tell us what you thought about the book?
I had a problem with the narrator too. Narrators usually don't bother me, and I think maybe it's partly because
I you know, I've not been around a lot of Spanish accents and stuff, but I think maybe it's like Sherry said, the woman was so enthusiastic with her language and stuff. And after about 20 minutes, I was looking for a large glass of water in the part in the book that would tell me how to drown in it. But I stuck with it. I mean, I did enjoy how she, I'm like Liz, the way she answered those forms just tickled me to death. That was very funny. And I was like, I can't believe anybody ever carried, sent her along to the next session and stuff with the way. And I'm a little confused. So it seemed to me like she was talking to an employment agency. Was she talking to an employment agent or was she talking to a social worker?
She was
I'm a
talking,
little confused.
it was, well, she was talking to a woman who was a caseworker because she was assigned 12 sessions with a caseworker for the senior employment center because she was 55 and older and they were trying to help her find another job.
Okay.
So
All right. Well, yeah.
it was a very unusual, because usually you wouldn't expect that someone who goes in to see a caseworker would rattle on and on about this. So it was kind of
Right.
funny.
Right. Right. Right.
So
Yeah.
that she did this. Yeah.
But like I said, I finished the book and I ended up enjoying it. I mean, it was different. I mean, it was a different structure, and then it kind of reminded me a little bit of when I call AT&T or some of these companies now. I guess they think we're going to like it a lot better if when they say they're when the automated voice says they're typing something, they make the sound like somebody's typing. So I noticed they worked that into the book too, and I thought, yeah, okay, well, that's at least somebody's typing and answering, filling out a form and stuff. But it was different, but I ended up enjoying it pretty good, so thanks.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you so much.
And
Sally,
I
when
and I
oh,
did like I I'm sorry, I did like Kara, and I can't really say I know the how to drown in a glass or how not to drown in a glass of water had something to do with tears and stuff, didn't it? Say something about that in the book, something about
yeah, it did. Yeah.
but I'm not sure I it was totally that I totally got it all, so okay.
Okay. Well, thank you. Sally, what did you think of the story?
Okay, I did like it, but the longer I read it, the less I focused on the story, the character, but I looked more at the structure and how everything was coming out from that, and I began to look at it more structurally than as a novel. So I kind of lost interest in the story, but I liked Kara up to a point. But even if you're angry at your son and you're aiming for the door, you don't throw a hot iron across the room without some kind of consequence. I'm not sure about the title. I know that there was a mention, a slight mention to it somewhere, but it went by so quickly it eluded me. And I read it, but I can't really say that I look at it more as a story than more as like a writing exercise. So that's my take on it.
I kind of, I mean, I did look at it as a story, but I also thought of it very much as a performance. I thought it was a very well suited, like I could picture this as a one woman play in the theater. Yeah, kind of how, yeah. And it's worked very well as an audiobook. I mean, it was ideal as an audiobook, really. But
But
I
I
understand.
don't think it would work as well as a print, in a print. And I someone else mentioned the forms, how she filled out the forms. I love that. I loved her answers to them.
Me too. They were. I said to myself, I never filled out a form like that in my life, but I would love. Just great the way she. Yeah, that was. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Marcia, we'll try out your phone. What did you think of the story?
She's still muted, according to,
Yeah.
still muted,
Am I unmuted now?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Let me thanks for letting me know before I got too wound up here. But no, really, I enjoyed the book. I had a problem with the accent at first, but I must have acclimated to it because it was easier to understand as I read through. And this is one of the few books I've ever read that had sound effects. You know, you could hear her walking in and typing the forms and even writing her some of the forms later on. But I liked Kara. She was a very giving person. She tried to help anybody that she could. I'm sure she, in a fit of anger, she threw that hot iron at Fernando. And it's good that they were starting to reconcile, or he was starting to reconcile with her, because there was no reconciliation needed on her part. So I enjoyed the book. I know they referenced it a couple of times about the significance of how not to drown in a glass of water, but I didn't get it. Maybe I'm a little dense or something, but I didn't get the significance. But I really did enjoy the book, and the forms were a hoot. I just love the way that she filled out those forms. I feel very sorry for the people that had to read them, but hey, it was funny. Thank you, Jill.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, the forms were so much fun to listen to. They really were. There were a couple of references in the book to the title, and I bookmarked them, and I went back and listened to them. I still am not 100% clear. I don't really know exactly what it means. It means something, and I guess maybe I'll have to do it again, but I'm glad I'm not the only person who had trouble with the title. Jana, what did you think of this story?
I actually liked this book very much. I really thought the structure was very clever, the way the 12 sessions were almost like therapy sessions, and then the stupid bureaucratic forms. So I'm not a social worker, but I work for a bureaucracy, and I just had to laugh at those stupid forms. And I think that the point of it was to show cultural bias. They ask questions that a poor person from a very poor Hispanic country would never have experienced. And it did a really good job of portraying that, I think. And the answers that she put on the forms were just cracked me up. I liked how she talked about the highs and the lows of friendship, because sometimes friendships can kind of go up and down. And there are people who are very good friends, but there might be things about them that drive you crazy. And I think she portrayed that really well. I think it was also interesting how she worked through some of her flaws through these sessions, and she made changes by the end of the book, especially with how strict she was with children. It showed at the end that she was a little bit less strict with her nephews, I think it was. And it just showed her strengths and flaws really well. I thought the book was funny and sad and thought-provoking in many ways. And I did think of the audio as a performance. Usually when readers over-dramatize things, it makes me a little bit crazy. But I did think of this as a performance because of the sound effects and her writing with the pen and things like that. And I actually thought the performance was really good. I am kind of used to a Hispanic accent because I work with students who've come from all over the world. And it also showed something that is sort of one of my own biases. I've seen a lot of Hispanic students who came from very poor countries who are extremely hard workers and very, very generous people. And I think that's what she was. So that is my very long observations about the book.
Good comments.
Yeah. You made really good comments, actually. And I think you're absolutely right. She really was trying to show you know, what the bias is, and it makes sense. And that's a common complaint a lot of times when people take standardized tests and things like that, that, you know, they're culturally biased towards certain groups and away from other groups. And she definitely showed, I mean, they asked like, what boy band poster did you have in your room and things like that? Like, what?
That's what ridiculous.
Yeah, that kind of thing. So, you know, that wasn't, and then the friendship that you talked about, Jana, is so interesting, because I found her friendship with Lulu really fascinating. And the fact of her house to her and let her come and stay with her, I didn't really expect that. And but it kind of worked well for both of them, you know, to have that company. So you're absolutely right. Deanna, what did you think of the story?
Well, I was a social worker for a very short time. I
didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah, my first job out of college, I was recruited to handle a 100 caseload in San Jose, working with relocated Native Americans, because they wanted a Native American in the position. They had a special unit for Hispanics and a special unit for Asians. And those were more effective at getting compliance out of all the rules and the regulations. And so I understood the cultural bias because, well, one of the first things, I had to go visit a young woman with who was expecting with a couple of small kids already. And when I knocked on her door, she took a few minutes to get there. And I had mailed her a letter to announce that I was coming on this date and would be there about this time, because she didn't have a phone. So she came to the door and she said, "Oh, I didn't know you were coming today." And I said, "I wrote you a letter last week to tell you." And she said, "Oh, I saw it was from the government and I was having a downer day, so I didn't open it." And that kind of thing, I could see in Kara. She was doing her best to comply because she really wanted help getting a job. She needed a job. She didn't want to lose her apartment. You know, she had a lot of concerns and worries, and but she was going to give it her best shot. And when you're not from a paper-oriented society, you're from a relationship society, you see the world in a different way. And so that was very clear with Kara. She related to people and wanted to help wherever she could. And she thought those responsibilities were every bit as important as getting a job. And like many women, she tended to put others ahead of herself. Her concern with her son, yeah, she didn't pick up that he was gay at first, and she was frustrated because he was so bright and so talented, and why wasn't he making more of himself, you know? And so she was demanding high standards from him. And I understood that too, because my mother had extremely high standards for me that she didn't apply to my brothers and my little sister. They could get away with bringing C's and D's, and as long as they didn't flunk, she was content. But if I brought home a C, heaven forbid, you know, aren't you studying enough? A B, you know, do you need more study time? You know, it was a lot of pressure. So I understood that mixed relationship, that a child does not want to disappoint a parent, but is also trying to figure out where they fit and their needs fit. But fortunately for me, I had the same ambitions for myself as my mother. She wanted me to go to college because she told me, you know, you can't wait tables, you can't pump gas, you can't work in a factory. So baby girl, you're going to have to use your mind, and you have a good one. So her expectations were extremely high. My brothers and sister were equally bright, but she never put the pressure on them because they could always find something to do. And so I understood that kind of weird relationship she had with her son, where her hopes were so high for him and for her sister. She cut her sister a lot of slack when they were growing up and she was raising her, because she wanted Angela to do better than she had been able to do. But also, she didn't understand the world Angela was walking around in absorbing different mores and different. So it didn't make sense to her not to correct a child who was behaving badly. She wasn't going to beat the child the way she had been beaten in the way that Angela had been beaten. But she did feel like corporal punishment was okay when the child had really done something that could have been, you know, if the food had been too hot, he might have scalded the babies and his sister when he dumped the spaghetti on them. And there has to be consequences. I babysat children that were like that, wild, because their mother did not believe in any form of corporal punishment, and she never raised her voice. She was a sweet woman, of Southern, soft Southern accent. She would stand there, and her three-year-old would march in from the backyard, and she'd say, "Oh, Carly, don't walk on the kitchen floor. I just mopped it." And he would just ignore her and walk right through. And she'd say, "Oh no, Carly, look what you've done. Now I've got to do it over." And my mother would never have allowed that either. You know, if we hadn't listened, she would have turned us over her knee and paddled our little bottoms just because, but she never struck us with anything but her hand. You know, so I didn't consider being beaten, and I was not the recipient of most of it. It was mostly my younger brothers who were little terrors at times.
I mean, it was interesting about, you know, the way that they talked a lot about child raising, and you make good points about, which I thought was the best part of the book, really was the end, where they talked about all the unpaid work that she was really doing and how she was helping so many people, and how that was really considered, you know, experience that could help her find another job. It was almost like a little bit like a fairy tale ending to me, because in real life, I don't know that they would consider all this.
I thought that Lizette was doing active listening.
Yes. Yeah.
And so she was trying to pick out, how can I help her find a niche that where she will fit and where she can be gainfully employed. And that's why she wanted to extend Kara's time, because she felt she was making progress as she got to know her through her forms and through her chatter. She got a bigger picture of who Kara was and how her skill set worked. And she wanted to be able to pursue it a little further, but because it was a federal or a government program, they weren't going to let her.
I mean, it was surprising, like, to me that, you know, that ending I really liked, but I didn't know how realistic it was. I thought, I don't know.
Well, I got the impression that Lizette was fairly young. Maybe. And it might have been a first job for her. And she was trying to be conscientious.
Yes.
But she was limited by the structure she was in.
Yes, definitely. Yeah.
That was what I picked up out of it, because I was in that position of being a young caseworker trying to explain a culture to people who did not fit in the city, because they came from the middle of nowhere, North Dakota, or out in the middle of Arizona with, you know, only their relatives and friends who had cars would, you know, take them places. So they didn't know about buses. They didn't know about paperwork. And if you don't get it in, your check won't come the next month because you didn't file your statement. You know, those kinds of things were completely foreign to them because paperwork was scary and it was hard to understand.
No, you're right, Deanna. I mean, that you get a good sense exactly of, you're right. I mean, yeah, thank you so much. LaDon, what did you think of the story?
Yes. I thought that this approach, well, it's really different way of telling the story, I thought. It reminded me of an old-time radio show or a podcast from today that would be in 12 parts. That was with the sound effects. You heard the door opening in the building and then walk, walk, walk as she, her footfalls she had and she came up there. And then when she asked for a glass of water, you heard her having a hard time drinking that and talking, sometimes trying to talk at the same time. It was a really good performance, I thought. I had a little trouble, like others, with the language just because I don't understand it. I'm sure that if I was fluent in Spanish, that wouldn't have been a problem at all. But I have a hard time picking up. I have just finished another book that used a lot of Spanish in it, and it had the same problem. But I thought it was interesting that the interviewer you never heard the interviewer speak, but you knew what the interviewer said by her response. And I thought it was interesting with her, that fortune teller that she had, she said, "Don't you believe in the fortune teller?" And, "Oh, you don't," and so forth. It was lucky, I thought, that it kind of worked out. The fortune teller was correct. But I thought the whole thing was very interesting, very novel approach to a novel. And I enjoyed it quite a lot. I thought she was a very vociferous woman who would make good friends. If she got a job, maybe in a retirement center or someplace, where she could talk to people who needed friends, needed talking to. She'd be very good at things like that, human relationships. And she would just talk and talk and be quite a friend to almost anybody that would need it, other old people or something that needed somebody to talk to. And I thought that the interviewer was pretty good at figuring out what kind of job she is. But if I understood it correct, the interviewer said she would be good for a job, but she didn't get it. And so she would have to go back again or to the next step or something. Mm-hmm. But she didn't get it. But the interviewer liked her and thought she would be very good at certain kinds of tasks, which I thought was good. So I really, really enjoyed the approach because it was so novel.
Yes, that's true. Well, I'm familiar with the area that they were talking about in the book. And when she was saying, "Well, would you like to go on this job interview and that?" Like, one job interview would have taken her from Washington Heights to the South Bronx area, which, you know, she was explaining, "I have to take two buses and I have to walk." And I understood that maybe, you know, when you're 55 years old, you don't necessarily want to travel an hour and 15 minutes, an hour and a half way to go there. And I think that is a problem sometimes when you're trying to get a job in a big metropolitan area, is they send you, you know, you could be on the subway for 2 hours, you know, traveling here, there, and everywhere. So it was interesting. And I think you're right, LaDon. I think she would be great if you put her in a setting where she would sit and talk to other people, maybe people who speak Spanish, and be you know, like their friend, their companion, or whatever. I think that's that she has job skills, but the way that the system is set up, it was hard to get her to those jobs with all the paperwork and everything like that. So you're right. So we have somebody new who, I'm sorry, I don't know you before, Jim. I don't know if you want to unmute yourself and say anything about the book, or if you're just here to listen today. Jim Vaglia? I hope I'm saying your name right. You're muted. I don't know. Would you like to unmute? Okay. I guess not. Okay. Nancy, did you want to unmute and say anything about the book?
Hi. Sorry, I keep forgetting I'm muted. I'm unmuted when I call. I keep thinking I'm muted. Anyway, I didn't have I read a couple pages, but I really didn't have enough time. I was reading three or four other books. I didn't really have time to read it. I'm very sorry, but I'm listening for the next book. But thank you very much for having the call.
Okay, thank you so much. Okay, so I think everybody has spoken. Does anybody have any final
thoughts? What about Joni?
Joni said she didn't have a chance to read the book. She's just visiting with us. So
okay.
Does anybody have anything?
What?
I'm sorry, Joni. Did you want to say something?
I read the book.
Oh,
I read the book.
She did read the book.
Judy.
Oh, you read the book? I'm sorry.
Yes,
I did. I misunderstood. I would have called on you much earlier. I apologize. I thought you know what? I have wax in my ear and I think I have to get my ears cleaned out. I apologize. Joni, please tell us what you think about the book.
Okay. Well, I started the book and it was in one of the book clubs, Michelle, when I said I started it and I couldn't understand it. And you said, continue with it. You'll be able to. Well, I started it and tried to go on with it, and I was reading it on my Victor screen, and I was having so much difficulty in understanding her and all the Spanish words, and yet I decided I'm here in the hospital, I have time, I'm going to read it, because you had said that it was funny and everything. Well, I ended up really loving the book. I wasn't thrilled with the computer sounds. They kind of got in my way. Some of the other sound effects were okay. But I think that I really liked the 12 session. The way she did that in the 12 sessions, and that she never missed a session. She was a little bit late, and the forms were so ridiculous, and they really people that put these things together are just so. So I'm unaware of what other people go through. So I probably should have read it on Bookshare, but I did read it in person. I got used to her. She drank a lot of water, and the end worked out so well for her, and I was glad. And if she finds something, well, fine. If she doesn't, she'll manage, because she knows how to manage people, how to organize people. I love that. She
knows his W. Yeah, that was true, where they said that she could either be like a crisis, you know, a crisis center manager, or, you know, work in a care center. It was very interesting. But you're right. Yeah, this book was definitely, the structure was so intriguing to me, the way the story was told. I just thought it worked so well on audio. And I really felt like I was the caseworker listening to her talk about her life and some of her life. I thought her life was going to be miserable the whole time, and I was going to be crying. And some of it was pretty miserable, but some of it wasn't. And I especially liked her ability to connect with other people, as some of you have mentioned. I mean, she has a really good way to connect with people, and she has sort of an empathy. You know, like she invited her neighbor to come and live with her after her neighbor was going through all her troubles with her son. And I don't know, there was a lot of good in her. And I think she had been raised under tough circumstances. But there was quite a bit of good in her. And I was happy that her and her son might reconcile. It looked like they were making steps in that direction. And I even thought maybe somehow she's going to get a job somehow. So yeah. I don't know how or what she's going to end up doing. But I was kind of hoping, because it is very scary. I do know people that this has happened to who have lost their jobs in their 50s, and it is not a good time to lose your job in your 50s at all. It's really, really tough, especially if you're used to living a certain way, and all of a sudden, you know, the money is just gone, and your life can change pretty dramatically. So we have a couple of minutes. I don't know if anybody has.
Yes, yeah. I just wanted to add something, if you don't mind. I really liked her. And thought she was so likable. But one thing when she found something that she thought was important, it may not have even been important, but she thought it was, write that down. Remember, she write that down. She wanted to be sure that the interviewer got that point.
Oh, yeah.
Write that down.
Right, she did. She kept telling her, write that down.
Exactly. Yeah. And she, I was just charmed by her. Whole personality, yeah. And you know, I don't know, she's just kind of a nice, I've known some people sort of like that.
Yeah. Alan, you wanted to say?
Yeah, you gotta have great respect for any woman that can deliver their own baby. I mean, come on. didn't she deliver her own baby? I think that she ended up doing all the work. I don't think her husband didn't do a darn thing, I don't think. And the other thing I really liked that I really got amused about, and I guess this was Kara making the comments when she started talking about she really liked it when it was the Everything Cafe, but when it became the White People Cafe, it was no good anymore. All the prices went up and stuff, and they didn't have anything. And then I think she made a reference one time when she was talking about the government, or something about the government with no feelings. Did I catch that right? Something about something with no feelings. I mean, she was making a reference to, I guess, the bureaucracy and stuff. I got really amused at her observations and stuff.
I think that was the housing. I think that was regarding the house. I think so.
It may have been, yeah, because her building was starting to get gentrified and stuff, and you know, they were trying to force her out. So.
But, I think an ideal job for her would be a nursing home.
Yeah. That's what I said, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
But I thought she was kind of a gullible person, too, you know, when she was talking about the fortune teller. And she might be the kind of person that they take advantage of on the phones. Yeah. Call you up and offer this kind of deal and that kind of deal to get money out of people. Scams, in other words. I thought she would fall for scams. Kind of person that would fall for scams.
It was funny that she was willing to spend her money on the fortune teller, but then the fortune ended up coming true.
Yeah.
And
how fortunate.
It was amazing that her neighbor left her the money. And that was the thing that I really liked about the story, was it showed you that she did all these things and she got rewarded for it. And it's so true. A lot of women do end up spending, like, I thought it was amazing that she was taking care of her sister's children and she wasn't being paid for it. I was like, she needed money. I thought, how could it be? You know, it wasn't like she was babysitting for an afternoon or something. She was taking care of these kids, and I thought, how could she not be paid for this? I mean, it just didn't make
sense. And sister treated her so badly.
Yeah. Yeah, Angela was hard to like, that's for sure. You know, she was.
She was.
Yeah.
So next month.
Okay. Does it, everybody, any final thoughts, or everybody's, we've talked about it. Okay. Very good. Okay. So probably about a year and a half ago, we read a book here, and the author was Angeline Bouley, which is B-O-U-L-L-E-Y. It was called The Firekeeper's Daughter. And I think that book was actually on President Obama's book list, if I remember correctly. I don't know if the second book is on President Obama, but this book came up hard recently. It is called Warrior Girl Unearthed. So it has a pretty jazzy title. And the author is Angeline Bouley, B-O-U-L-L-E-Y. It is on Bard. The DB number is 114761. I'll say it again. 114761. It is 11 hours and 34 minutes. And it's read by the same narrator as The Firekeeper's Daughter, Isabella Starr LeBlanc, who was fabulous in that narration. It is listed under mystery and detective stories.
One more time, what's the title, please? I'm sorry, my ear was away from the phone for a moment.
Yes.
I got the DB and everything, but what's the name of the book? The Warriors something or other?
Yes, Warrior Girl Unearthed.
Warrior Girl Unearthed, okay.
It's listed under mystery and detective stories, young adult. I think Deanna, you were speculating that it might be, do you think it's a continuation, or?
It just struck me that the name of the protagonist was, the same name as one of Adonis's nieces.
Okay, I'm gonna have to check that out, because I it doesn't seem to say it's like a series here, but it might be a related.
Yeah,
sort of.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. Cause... Yeah.
But anyway, it sounds very good, I'm looking forward to it. I like The Firekeeper's Daughter a lot, actually. And I guess that's it then. So anyway, thank you everybody for coming. And I hope
what is the date of next month?
The date is Friday, October 6th. So it's always the first Friday of the month. So it's about 5 weeks from now. It's Friday, October 6th at 8 p.m.
Warrior Girl Honor. Thank you very much. Thank you.
So okay. Worlds of Books is 2 weeks from Tuesday. So read The Professor and come and let's talk about it. So by Robert Bailey. So
yeah. Okay.
I've only read about an hour of it, but I think it's going to be good. So anyway.
Yeah, that's good.
And the Mystery Book Club, we are reading Mr. Mercedes this month. Meeting on the fourth Sunday of the month.
Mm-hmm.
So, and Novel Idea reemerges this month too.
That's right. Yeah. Haven by Sherry Gomes. Yeah.
Right. The third Friday.
Yeah. 2 weeks from tonight.
We'll have banquet no matter what on next Sunday, a week from the Sunday, 10th? Which mm-hmm. I think is September 10th.
The 10th, mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Good. Well, thank you so much, everybody. I'm glad that you liked the book. It was a different kind of a book, so it was kind of a fun experience trying this book. So thank you, everybody, for reading the book and coming and talking about it. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Michelle.
Thank you for recommending it, Michelle.
And everybody enjoy their weekends.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Good night.
Okay. Good night.
Take care, everyone.